music, both old and new. Jazz on the Air, Sunday afternoons at 2:30 p.m. on WUSB Stony Brook.
Hey, let me turn you on to a little Lister secret. Remember Donna from Concert Billboard? She has one of the best shows right here at 90.1 WSB in Stony Brook. Jazz on the Air. Every first and fifth Sundays at 2:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. So you know what to do. Cuddle up with myself, Donna, and WSB. Jazz on the Air. First and fifth Sundays, 2:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here at WSB 90.1 FM in Stony Brook and WSB.FM around the universe.
Yes, indeed, around the universe. Hey, this is WUSB Stony Brook. It is exactly 6:02 on a Tuesday evening. Happy Tuesday evening to you. That means one thing. It's time for Off the Wall. Thank you. Yes, good evening. I am Kyle, and Emmanuel is over here.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Well, you know, I'm still a little bit in shock. What a week. Wow. So many things have changed. So many things have happened.
Yeah.
I guess we might as well just get right into it. Who would have thought? Who would have thought England would just
leave,
be out like that? Yeah, it's just, it's, I mean, I guess in a way we kind of saw it coming. There's been a lot of pessimism lately. People haven't felt as strongly about things as you. There's just no confidence that there was success in the future. But I don't know. I still didn't see it coming. In a way, I kind of wanted it to happen. It's a terrible thing to say, I know. But sometimes you just want to see how bad things can get, you know, before they get better. Honestly, though, when they got the penalty in the first half, I thought they had it. I really thought they had it. But then Iceland came back and scored that one goal and then the second one. And then they played like champions the entire second half. And England had no chance. They were just out of Euro. I'm in shock.
Wait a minute. You're talking about a game?
This I thought that's a, what this is, was all about.
No, it's not a game.
It is a game, Kyle. I mean, it's an expensive game, but it's a game. And Iceland deserves our props for. I mean, think of it. They have 350,000 people total in their country. There's more people on campus, all right? We have a big campus here. There's a lot of people here. And we can't, you know, I don't think we even broadcast soccer games. I don't know why that is. But do we have a team? I think we have a team. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm going to find out about this. But, wow, I mean, 350,000 people. And you know what? It's nighttime all the time there. Do you know that? In Iceland, the sun never comes up. It's always cold. And and I have other facts, too. But, you know, we only have an hour. It's amazing. It really is. I'm shocked. You're not shocked?
I'm overwhelmed with joy and excitement about their progression.
It's regression. Really they regressed. Evolution. They're out. Oh. They're out. They're gone. Finished. England got sent home.
Well,
isn't that what I thought? That's what the pre-show meeting was about. You said we want to talk about England leaving Europe.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about it as well. I was talking about the EU and how they've left the...
Miscommunication. Wow. Okay. You want to talk about that instead? I just assume.
No, we don't have to.
No, because that's last week, Kyle. That happened on Thursday. This happened yesterday, you know? And I always thought we were trying to be more current. But you know what? No, it's okay. We don't have to. I have a lot of things prepared here, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. My research, it's only my time. Why don't we talk about what do you want to talk about? And European Union. Okay, fine. European Union. Wow. Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
Well, I didn't see the game, so I don't know.
You missed
why
a good. It's a good game. It really was a good game.
Yeah, you're really excited about it. I'm sure it was great, but it's a game, and
you know it was a better game. The one in New Jersey on Sunday. Wow, 82,000 people. I mean, sometimes I'm very proud of this country, and seeing 82,000 people show up for, you know, an international football game between Argentina and Chile. You know, that tells you that we're not clueless at all. We're really tied into what's going on in the world. And it was a really good game, too. Chile won a second time in a row on penalty kicks, and Lionel Messi quit the game. But regardless, you know, no, you're right. It's more important what's going on with the European Union, because, wow, that was a shock, too. You know, in a way, I kind of wanted it to happen only because I wanted to see how bad things get. But, you know, not really. I guess we just sort of didn't see it coming. And here it is. And now England has voted to leave. And we started to see the ramifications of that, both in public reaction and in international reaction.
Yeah, it's pretty wide ranging as far as the views. There's been some talk about people having second thoughts or misgivings about this kind of vote, and that's gone around a bit. I was sort of like, well, let them go. You know, if they're committed and they want to leave, and you kind of got that sentiment, I think, that they are on an island. And if you look, and this also has a lot of parallel and a lot to do with it, is the sort of colonial history of that particular country affecting the rest of the world.
Right.
And for them to not want to be a part of stuff that's going on in Europe, it's sort of ironic in that sense and interesting to watch. Also what the United States was revolting against.
England has a bit of a control problem, all right?
They've
always been in control, and they don't like it when they're not in control. And yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, most countries have fought to gain independence from England, not the other way around. England feels, this is really incredible to hear them talk about, this will be our Independence Day. Come on, people. Really, you think that you were never always independent.
Yeah, that's rich. That is rich.
But
I mean,
you ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer.
Yeah.
And that was a stupid question to ask a bunch of uninformed voters. And they are uninformed. I mean, did you see the Google searches the next day? In England, what is the EU?
What is the EU?
That was the most popular thing to search for. I guess people finally started to take an interest once they realized that they had screwed themselves.
Politics is not as boring as it's made out to be.
No, it's not. But
you know what? It affects things. It really does. When it comes down to it, politics matter.
Democracy is a funny thing. Because you can say that democracy means asking the public's opinion on everything, and mass opinion rules. That to me is not democracy. That to me is complete idiocy, because most people don't know the facts about certain things. You know, imagine science working that way, where you just basically put out a referendum on serum fight this particular disease. Well, should we try it? You know, what kind of test should we run? You kind of want to keep it to the people that know what they're talking about. That's not saying that blind trust is in order, but you do have to realize that most people had no clue what they were getting into. And now that they realize it, they really regret it. But hey, you know, it's too late. There are people saying, yeah, we should start a petition now and, you know, have a revote. I kind of think you guys need to learn from the stupidity here. And the rest of the world needs to see the consequences of these actions. They think, England is so full of themselves. They think that their leaving is going to tear up the EU. It's going to make the EU dissolve. I maintain that their leaving the EU is going to tear apart the UK. That's what we're going to see disappear. Reason being, Scotland really is not for this at all. It was so funny seeing Trump show up in Scotland the day afterwards and then give a speech, apparently unaware that he was in Scotland, saying that the people have voted to take their country back. You know, if the people voted to take their country back, you wouldn't be there that day. They would be independent from England, and they'd put a wall up just for you. That's how it would be.
And it just goes to show his bravado being the bull in the china shop. He doesn't even know he's insulting them.
No, not at all.
he's expressing the greater power. It's like some greater power visiting another part of the world and referencing a neighbor that's not only a larger but also has been more powerful in the past and in the world. Even it's just so terrible. It shows a lack of understanding the geopolitical situation
the thing is, he is in a bubble. So even though he was speaking in Scotland, he really had no clue that he was in Scotland. He didn't talk to any real Scottish people. He didn't get the sense of what the people actually felt. The thing is, though, Scotland does not want to leave the EU. They would rather leave the UK than the EU. Now, they voted last year on another referendum whether or not they should leave the UK, and they voted to stay. But that was with the understanding that the UK was part of the EU. That was before the referendum to leave was even announced. So now that that has changed, now that massively the country has changed, they want another referendum, and that one is going to pass. So Scotland will leave the UK. Scotland will become an independent country. Of course, whether or not they can just continue being part of the EU, I'm not sure it's that simple. Hopefully it is. But there you go. You just lost Scotland, England. good work on that. You get to keep Wales because they seem to be a lockstep with what you feel. But Northern Ireland is not into this either. Now, imagine if Northern Ireland decided to split or maybe join with regular Ireland. That's not the right way to say it. The Republic of Ireland, because they're all regular Ireland. But imagine that. Imagine if somehow England's stupidity managed to unite Ireland. Wouldn't that be great? All the troubles are gone now, and the troops have to leave, and Ireland is completely independent. I know there'd be some trepidation, but that would be a nice solution to all of this. And I kind of hope that's where it winds up. Other countries are not going to do this because they'll see the cost that England has to pay as a result.
And as a result of turning their backs on this experiment, this unification and partnership, this cooperative that is the EU, it's really, I think, again, it's about evidence, and there's even, I think, a little bit of evidence stuff coming out about how the each side leave or remain was campaigning and so on, and it's you can't make up the foundation of the facts that these things are based on, these decisions and the impact. You can't just make stuff up and then not have there be a consequence when your facts don't line up with what happens. So hopefully people will realize that it's a mistake, but maybe not. Maybe this is actually what is meant to be, and that they should be, go on with this national unity they're trying to stir up. And
well, they did make up facts, because the Leave campaign was saying that £350 million they were paying to the EU every year, and that money was going to go directly into the National Health Service. Now that the vote is over, they're backtracking on that, saying, oh no, that was a mistake, we didn't actually mean that. Meanwhile, they're driving around the countryside literally with a bus that says that on the side of it, and people believed it. They voted based on that, and turns out it was wrong, it was a lie. That's why you have to do a little bit more research. That's why you can't simply believe people who say things like Trump based on emotion and not actual evidence. If anything, this is a warning to us of what could happen in November if we're not careful.
And appreciate how things are working. I think there's this this tone of pessimism that is popular, that gets traction every now and then, but I really don't think that humanity, the broad base of all of us in different countries and around the world, I don't think we benefit from this negative spirit. I think that the lion's share people are positive. They want things to work. They want to see things work, and modify it if it isn't working. So that I think is what's going to lose in this. And they didn't see it. This negative attitude towards the EU is not going to serve who now remain, left.
It's easy to point to the negativity, and you can do that with any organization. You do it with the United Nations. You can do that with any kind of coalition, such as the EU. And that's what people have been doing in England, is pointing out all the problems, except these problems aren't necessarily tied to the EU, such as immigration. First of all, what kind of problem does immigration pose exactly? More diversity of your population, more money coming in, more people doing more things.
It's not a problem. It's a function of a nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is part of being a nation. You have people that come to you and say, I want to live here.
Exactly.
I wasn't born here.
We are stronger for immigration. A lot of people don't believe that. People think that immigrants are coming and taking our jobs and causing crime. And it's just not true. That is not our country does not work that way. Our country has always been open to people coming from all over the world.
Yes.
And changing. And change is good. Change is good when you're changing your culture and evolving and expanding into new areas. Just think about it. Staying the same all the time. How is that good in any context? And the people that want to do that, not really a lot of fun to hang out with. Here's the thing. In England, most people over 65 voted. I don't mean voted for a particular side. Most people over 65 came out in droves. And these are the people who overwhelmingly are against staying in the EU because I guess they fear change. They're suspicious. They're afraid of foreign people, things like
can't,
that.
Can't walk their dog at night.
You know, right or wrong, people have these preconceived notions. And when you're elderly, I suppose, you're more conducive to being intimidated.
And you want to be right. In your head, you can convince yourself that your beliefs are however conflated they are, somehow are justified because you've worked it out in your head, and that isn't really socially beneficial.
But the other part of this is that young people did not vote in such large numbers, and young people overwhelmingly wanted to stay in the EU. You see what happened here? People weren't smart. They didn't come out and vote for what they believed in.
And participate.
And they let the fearmongers take the election in that particular way. And think about the fairness of this. You have people, there's no nice way to say this, people who are nearing the end of their lives, you know, in their 70s and 80s, whatever. You don't have as much time as people in their 20s, okay? That's just a fact. And you're deciding their future. You know, you're going to be gone, but they're going to have to live with this decision. So, you know, I know one person, one vote is fair, but in some cases it's not that fair because, it affects people long after you're gone. And, but then again, you know, if they don't come out and vote in droves or get the numbers out, I mean, the Labour Party did a horrible job opposing this. That's why Jeremy Corbyn's on the way out. People realize he didn't do anything. And, you know, this is a part of a problem on the left. We've had it in this country too, where we just kind of like to sit back and see, oh, how bad can it get? You know, how bad can the oppressive powers be? Oh, look, I'm being oppressed. I can't say this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to stop expressing myself because I'm being told not to. You know, and eventually what you wind up doing is basically paving the way for exactly that kind of world because you're trying to make a point instead of fighting it.
Being a martyr, sort of.
Like, uh-huh.
Yeah, and suffering instead of organizing and being in solidarity with people and in action to create and reform the kinds of institutions and communities that we live in.
Right, right.
Anyway, great stuff. A lot to talk about. There's a lot of angles to it, too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that kind of inspires me is that I realize that we're not the only idiots in the world. There are plenty of idiots to go around all over the place. And wow, did they come out last week and get their way? And well, I just want to cover a couple of facts because you might have heard some of this in the coverage that you may have seen in this country. You might have heard how the EU is this unelected, undemocratic body that passes laws in other countries, and the people in those countries have no power anymore. There's a word that I can use to counter that, but I can't say that word on the air.
Balderdash?
Balderdash, I guess, is a good substitute for it. I really don't understand that word. So is the EU really undemocratic? Well, according to The Guardian, which tends to get it right, unlike the United Nations or the World Trade Organization, only democracies can join the European Union. So in theory, EU member states that slide back on democratic standards can be sanctioned, although it's easier said than done. The question is, aren't there a bunch of unelected bureaucrats in charge? Actually, they aren't. When people talk about the unelected bureaucrats of Brussels, they usually mean the European Commission. The Commission is an organization like no other, more than a civil service, but less than the government.
It's like a board of directors, isn't it?
Yeah, it's composed of 28 commissioners, one from each country. The Commission drafts, enforces, and monitors EU laws, but it does not pass laws. So that's a huge, major difference. Now, the Commission cannot force laws upon EU member states. For example, the Commission spent eight years trying to get EU countries to agree to a law on cleaning up Europe's contaminated soils, but eventually withdrew the bill in the face of an immovable blocking majority, which included the UK. So there you go. There's your democracy in action right there. Now, another question often being asked, isn't Britain always being outvoted? Yeah, well, one of the biggest gripes of Eurosceptics is the extension of qualified majority voting, which allows the British government to be outvoted. So a bunch of EU policies are now decided by these weighted majority votes, such as environment, agriculture, and transport. More sensitive policies, including tax, defense, and foreign policy, have to be agreed by unanimity. So the way it works, a law passes if it's backed by 16 out of 28 countries that make up at least 65% of the EU population. The UK has 13% of the EU population, so it gets a 13% vote share. I mean, you know, it seems pretty straightforward to me. That seems kind of democratic.
Yeah,
seems like you got to say. Yeah,
but they thought this stuff through.
The problem is, England, you don't have control, like the kind of control you're used to. That's... Yeah, you got a queen. Yeah, you used to have colonies everywhere, the British Empire and all that. Those days are over. Those days, you got to work with the rest of the world now. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. You only 13% of the population, you only get 13% of the vote. Why? Where's the fairness in that? They should be getting at least 60% of the vote being 13% of the population because they're British, for God's sake. Live the Queen. I'm sorry.
No, they don't get any more jewels. They have all the jewels that they're going to get.
I didn't even get to the jewels yet.
They don't count as a percentage of the voting population.
So MEPs have been directly elected since 1979. A lot of people don't realize that the European Commission has been around a lot longer than the European Union. This is a 43-year relationship they're catapulting from right now. Voter turnout has been on a downward trend, however. Most people, barely one-third of British voters, in fact, bothered to turn out in the 2014 election. So most people did not vote at all in EU elections. Only 1 in 10 can name their MEP. You know, there's all these other issues that really are caused by ignorance of the populace. So the idea that laws are dictated from Brussels by unelected bureaucrats is simply wrong. In fact, EU laws have to pass high hurdles before they get into the British statute book. The British government has considerable clout in shaping those laws despite the growth of qualified majority votes. When Leave campaigners talk about laws made by Brussels, what they mean is laws made by the EU's directly elected governments and, more often than not, the European Parliament through the co-decision procedure. Not as snappy, but more accurate. The EU does have problems. Everybody knows this. Voters mistrust the EU and are unfamiliar with its unusual structure and multiple presidents. Now, if the UK votes to stay, this article was written before, Parliament could take steps to close that gap. Oh, yeah. You could have done that. The Electoral Reform Society concluded the EU has many serious democratic flaws, but the deficit can be tackled. Well, not anymore, folks. Not anymore, because you made a stupid decision. You're out. Next.
What a waste. What a waste.
I tried to drop the microphone, but it's attached to the board.
Yeah, well, you can't do that at a radio station.
And okay, you want the next half of all this?
Yeah, lay it on us.
All right. And with all the joy that people are experiencing now as a result of this vote.
Such joy.
Racist abuse has been skyrocketing ever since. It's on the rise in post-Brexit Britain.
Post-Brexit Britain.
I love it.
That is great. Oh, I like it.
Yeah. Anti-immigrant leaflets saying, leave the EU, no more Polish vermin, were put on cars near a school. Yeah, that's the thing. They don't like Poles over there. You know, Poles are their Mexicans, apparently.
I like Poland. Warsaw's great.
Yeah, I know. It's part of Europe, for God's sake, and they just can't seem to accept that.
It's as Europe as... Go on. Okay, yeah.
Well, anyway, the point is, these things have been popping up in real life, in Twitter. People are being stopped on the street, told to go home. People who have been born in the country are being told that because they have brown skin. This is what we have ushered in. Not we, but, you know, we as a human race have ushered in. And it's what could happen in this particular country, too.
It's that allowing that allegiance. No, license. The yeah. license, this kind of rhetoric, when supported by, I don't know, political parties, grand old political parties, you know, when they support this, it gives license to a very, very broad range of opinions.
Mm-hmm. Well, just yesterday, the Muslim Council of Britain released a gallery of 100 hate incidents it had taken from social media and called on the Home Secretary to step up security for migrants. We are witnessing the shocking extent of this with reports around the country of hate speech and minorities being targeted. That's according to Muslim Council of Britain Secretary General Dr. Suja Shafi. We need leadership now more than ever before. Our country is experiencing a political crisis, which I fear threatens social peace. Here's a sign. Basically, this is the sign that was put up on cars. Big sign saying, leave the EU, no more Polish vermin. Says it in Polish, too, just so that they make sure the message is heard.
There's two sheets, but it looks like it was a laser printed job. That's pretty hasty.
And they're not the only ones, obviously. Muslims are being attacked, and all kinds of immigrants are being attacked. If you go to the hashtag on Twitter, #PostRefRacism, you'll see all the ugliness. Well, some of it, anyway. There's always more that we miss. And it just reminds me of things that we've seen in this particular election that we're going through as well. You know, the ignorance towards particular ethnic groups and the fear and hostility towards immigrants. Or
lumping things together.
Fear of the rest of the world.
Xenophobia.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
All of that. It never ends in a good place. Here's an example. Here's somebody else. Just to give you an example of how we are certainly far from immune on this and how everything is progression of one sort or another. Progression into regression, I guess. There's this independent candidate for Congress in Tennessee,
okay,
who has been facing some criticism. You know why he's facing a little bit of criticism?
Tennessee, let me see.
No, it's not got nothing to do with Tennessee. All right, and there are nice people in Tennessee, but he's not really one of them. He put up a big billboard saying "Make America White Again." Make America white again.
I have a big problem with the concept of whiteness being something we strive for and that we need to, like, resuscitate or fix or help in any way. It's not attainable, okay? Everybody out there, get it through your head. It's a social construction.
You're saying we can't be white enough? We can't ever attain that level of whiteness that we really strive for?
It's really problematic.
Uh-huh.
Especially when it's something you need to conserve and protect and
well, let's continue. The name here is Rick Tyler. He's running for the 3rd congressional district in the northeastern part of the state.
Okay.
He said he put up the billboard alongside Highway 411 in Polk County to make a point that the Leave It to Beaver, Ozzie and Harriet, Mayberry America of old was vastly superior to what we are experiencing today. Sound familiar? Sounds exactly like something Trump would say. Now, Trump wouldn't go so far as to put up a billboard saying, make America white again. But he opens the door for other people, believe it or not, less informed people than him. They are out there.
Oh, yeah.
To do just that. And that's what we're seeing. And that's how you wind up starting a movement of ignorance.
And yep. they innovate. They become offshoots or perversions of that idea and that license to make these, even when it defies logic, stuff that we've talked about, stuff mm-hmm. that's been in the Supreme Court, what you name it, it becomes something that we want to spread. And not even that, it's this perception that it is somehow based in any kind of logic, or that it could challenge stuff that has already been sort of settled law or socially worked through as a society. We've dealt with it before. They want to reopen, rehash things, and figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's the whole on the Muslim ban.
They're afraid. And I think what you're seeing here, and I know the negative people on the left are really against acknowledging this, but Obama has made serious changes in this country.
Yes.
Serious changes.
Yes.
We don't have to have a conversation about the negative things. Let's have that conversation, but not what we're talking about the positive things, because I'm trying to make a point here. You know, we now have gay marriage legal in this particular country. We have much more respect from the rest of the world. We have more of an understanding of the rest of the world. We have things that are just annoying conservatives no end, and this is their reaction.
We have a president who's acknowledging the mass incarceration, the prison industrial complex, and I think major strides have been made in the military as far as what's accepted, what kinds of policies, women now being a part of the draft. There's all these changes. Of course, the ones that people don't like, or that this populist idea doesn't like, mm-hmm. or religious organization, you fill in, maybe it's a corporation, they decide they don't like it and attack it as a part of some social ill, this swell of change. Well, it's part of an overall movement or several movements that have ebbed and flowed over time. And what you get after these kinds of changes is a backlash. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
And when you ask yourself, what is it they're so afraid of? What is changing for them? Are they losing their homes? Are they being forced to pay more? Of course, everyone always has to pay more taxes. It's got nothing to do with this, though. It's got to do with inflation. It's got to do with just the way things always are. I've never heard of things going in the other direction. But people like to point the fingers and say it's because of the immigrants. It's because of social welfare. It's because of health care. And it's not any of that. We have these changes because changes are necessary, and moving in the direction the rest of the world is moving is a good thing. That's why I'm so happy to see 82,000 people, in a stadium in New Jersey watching a foreign soccer game.
We're watching actual football now.
We're paying attention to the rest of the world.
And
yeah.
even hosting those games is like pretty impressive with MLS, Major League Soccer, and the coordination with the Olympics and the national organization, as well as the overall like larger football organization that's going on around the world. Really cool how those are all sort of working, and some of these stadiums in larger cities have teams. They have minor league teams. We talked about that seeing some of the minor leagues in Washington, mm-hmm. and all over that's going on all over, and more age groups and integration of this sport that has ordinarily been oddly been brushed aside in the past, and we've paid attention to
because the American way is the
right
way. You know, we have
American
to be different.
Football, which is being shown to be profoundly injurious.
Come on, Kyle. Who would have thought that running full speed into somebody else's head with your head would cause injuries, beyond a simple, ouch or something that happened at the moment?
And, soccer players, they head the ball. They get, velocities. Definitely some physics going on there as far as bashing heads into each other. We saw a fair amount of that in the last couple of games. But also the ball itself, like doing these headshots and stuff.
You know what I like, though, about soccer? Not to delve back into soccer, but what
it's,
I like about soccer,
related.
The expressions on the players' faces.
Oh, yeah.
They're just so much more illustrative, I guess, than what you see in our particular professional athletes who are stoic and just, I don't know, they don't seem like people. Kind of like our cops don't seem like people. They seem like superstars. And yeah, you do have your superstars. You have your Ronaldos. You have your Messis. But you still see the pain they go through. You still see them being brought down. And it just feels like you're watching people more than you're watching millionaires doing something. You know,
I definitely agree. The game brings that out a lot more. And even on the teams like baseball or other American sort of traditional sports, they seem individual, even though they're on a team. It's about their stoic, not wincing at getting hit by a pitch or something. You know, whatever it is, it's all about their individual celebrity. With the team, you really, there are celebrities on the teams and big personalities and so on, but it's really every part of the game affects the whole team, and that communication they have, I think, is really unique in that sport.
Yeah, and also the respect that is shown from side to side. You see the respect, you see players helping players from the other team up. You know, when Messi, Lionel Messi, missed the penalty shot in the shootout in the Copa Americana final on Sunday, the person who consoled him the most was the opposing goalkeeper from Chile. And the interesting thing about that is because they play on the same team in Barcelona during the regular season. So
right.
I thought that was pretty amazing right there.
From a very young age, early on in soccer, like, you're used to playing different team configurations.
Yes.
You'll play one half of the team or the other half of the team, or play on multiple teams, regional teams, as well as playing for your local city or a professional team as well. Now international, then these multiple leagues in different parts of the world, different continents. It's incredibly complex, but it's not uncommon at all for these players to be opposing and switching and on different sides and see each other in different contexts, playing different positions or playing with different organizations through their career.
Now, to get back though to the EU and this ignorance in general, one of the other things, the fear aspect, which we're always being hit with, the fear of terrorism and all that. And that's one of the big obstacles towards any event like Olympics, like Euro 2016, like Copa Americana, like all of that. Oh, my God. You know, what's going to happen when all these people are together? It's going to be, you know, a massacre because of terrorists. And everything is fine. People get together. They have a fun time. As usual, the only problems are from the football fans themselves rioting in the streets and taking things a little bit too seriously. Not to say that terrorism can't strike, but the thing is, terrorism can strike anywhere. You can't predict it. You can't say, oh, it's going to be the Super Bowl. That's where they're going to strike. No, you know what? It's going to be a shopping mall where you don't expect it, because that's how terrorism works. Happening today, happening right now in Istanbul, in a place where people thought, oh, we were safe. You know, we were safe here. No, you weren't. That is the thing. You're never safe anywhere. And you can either go completely crazy and lock down everything, or you can just basically accept, this is the world today. This could happen at any time, and it's not really much we can do about it. There have been bombs exploding, you know, for as long as bombs have existed. I dare say that in the 70s, there were more bombs going off, thanks to the IRA and all kinds of other groups, than there are now. But we're a lot more fixated on what's happening. We're a lot more paranoid on a global scale. And we like to point the finger and say it's because of these people, it's because of this group, it's because of this policy. And you know what? It's a sad thing. It's a horrible thing. But it's a part of who we are as human beings. And we can't let it change who we are. We can't let it move us from our desire to do things. So that's another way they get you. Anyway, I want to get back to our friend Rick Tyler, though, in Tennessee. He said, in reference to his billboard, Make America White Again, it was an America where doors were left unlocked. Violent crime was a mere fraction of today's rate of occurrence. There were no carjackings, home invasions, Islamic mosques, or radical jihadist sleeper cells.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
Oh, you caught that, huh? you caught that.
Slow down.
Yeah, he just threw that in there. Like
minarets, those beautiful buildings with the chanting and the prayers.
So here are the four things that they did not have back in the 50s, apparently, where he wants to go back to. Carjackings, home invasions,
sure.
Islamic mosques,
and
radical jihadist sleeper cells. Now, how did I keep saying radical. Yeah, that one should be in. Radical jihadist sleeper cells. Okay, fine. Maybe they didn't have that in the 50s, but they certainly had Islamic mosques, and Islamic mosques are not a bad thing at all. But this is what people believe. And you know, you could say that statement. I guarantee. I could, you know, that retirement community that we sometimes trespass onto outside campus just because we like to, you know, freak out the people who live there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, all the time.
They've got a gate. They've got a gate, but they also have a fence. You can get right over the fence. But anyway, uh-huh. You know, I don't like to torment old people. It's just, you know, they need to know that we're here, you know?
Right.
And we're not causing any problems. Unless they start something, and then we're there.
You could replace that with a Buddhist temple.
Okay, fine. But, you know, I won't get the Buddhist involved in this, because they're not as nice as people think.
But there are more of them.
There's a lot of them.
I think.
More Buddhists?
Maybe. Than when I was little?
There's 1.5 billion Muslims. How many people are in this world?
Well, I mean, I just think that, like, we have a propensity for more diversity over time.
Well, okay. You're right. But can I get back to the retirement community?
If
we were to go over there after the show.
Okay, okay.
And walk down the street.
Right.
And meet somebody walking their dog. Are they allowed to have dogs?
Sure.
Okay. Some of them, they're not. But that one, they are. Okay. And we were to say to them, it was an America. Hello, person. It was in America where doors were left unlocked.
Hi there, Sonny.
Violent crime was a mere fraction of today's rate of occurrence.
Wait, I can't hear you.
Car checkings, home invasions, Islamic mosque, or radical jihadist sleeper cells. A lot of people would say, yeah, you know, it was better then. And they would let that comment about the Islamic mosque go right by them, and they would say, yes, I agree with that. And you see, it's a step towards a billboard that says, make America white again. They're making that connection. And a lot of good people are being caught up in the ignorance and the mayhem.
So make it white like Wonder Bread.
Pretty much, yeah. There are good white things.
And that makes you think
Wonder Bread's not one of them. But
sandwiches and dinner parties and nuclear families. Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, you have to be careful of these phrases that are meant to get people on your side based on false information. That is how England wound up screwing itself last week, because people believe things that were not true.
Word.
And now they have to pay the price. Same thing could happen to us as a result of not actually studying the facts.
It's like saying that you just want white internet.
Yeah.
Right? Like the EU is this massive organization and thing, and they're saying, like, well, we just want this certain type of community or this certain type of system, and they eliminate all these other networks, all these other things that the EU has to offer, just by being bigoted, by being upset and fearful, which you don't have to be fearful.
Well, you have to be fearful if you're told you have to be fearful, and if you feel like things aren't going your way and that, you know, you're paranoid and scared and lonely, and that's, you know, it's a recipe for disaster. And that's where we can do a better job of reaching out and getting alternative viewpoints out there so people have a chance to actually think for themselves instead of just believing the guy with the loud voice and the emotional words.
Right, or the guys pumping their fists and with the banners or the slogans that seem the most popular. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to talk to the people that aren't that popular, the people that aren't making all the flashy statements or they have all that lifestyle or the appearance of good. Things aren't always what they appear to be.
Well, our friend Rick Tyler has found himself in the national spotlight now as a result of his stupid billboard. But you know what? It's not the only stupid billboard. He's had other ones, and he's planning other ones. This one apparently has been taken down, but he's proposing several other billboard options on his campaign website, including one that reads, "Fight Federal Tyranny, Stop the Muslim Invasion." You know, what do the two things even have to do with each other? What is federal tyranny exactly? You know, how is that different from state tyranny or government of any sort? And what in God's name do Muslims have to do with any of that? It's just sad.
It's kind of mind-boggling. I mean, I can't. I guess it's work you have to do. You have to imagine that, people. You have to try to understand what people are thinking. And when it doesn't work, think for yourself.
NBC affiliate WRCB reported that Tyler's campaign put another billboard alongside Highway 64 showing the White House surrounded by Confederate flags. And at the top of that billboard are Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous words, "I have a dream." It's funny. We can laugh and we can point at the stupid idiots, but it stops being funny when the stupid idiots gain control. And this is something we've been warning people about for many months now with regard to Trump. But now, you know, you've got your Boris Johnsons and your Tory parties and your independent parties over in England that are really driving the country into disaster. And very similar things. Worse things can happen here if we simply let emotion run things for us without the benefit of fact and conversation. We have the convention coming up. The Republican convention is coming up only in a couple of weeks. We've been so busy planning our own convention, which is right smack between the Republican and the Democratic convention.
We're doing a good job.
I mean, it's going to be a lot more fun than what goes on in Cleveland and Philadelphia, I'll tell you that.
Way more fun.
But wow, it's going to be fascinating. And, I wish I could be there. I wish I could be in both places. Maybe I can be in one place, but I can't be in Cleveland. I don't really want to be in Cleveland because I think it's really going to be a horrible scene. And I worry about the outcome.
Well, we'll see. We'll have to pay attention. Hopefully there will be lots of free speech zones.
We actually accepting that? We're accepting that free speech zones are a thing, you know, that we have to pen people into little cages. That's what's horrible about how we've changed and how reality has altered.
Oh, I'm sure there are plans, all kinds of plans being made on all sides as we speak.
Well, listen, it's time for us to leave. But hey, I noticed you're playing Europe Endless.
I am.
As kind of rubbing salt into the wound.
Well, I do what the programming director tells me to do.
Well, Europe is more or less endless, I suppose. There's so much of it. Europe is stronger because of its diversity, because of its differences, and because of its unity. And if England doesn't want to be a part of that anymore, well, good luck being English, I guess. But you probably won't be Scottish or Irish anymore in the UK. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Interesting times ahead. Write to us, otw@2600.com, and who knows what will happen next week.
Who knows indeed.
going to happen.
Eater Parcel Patterson's Big Porky listens to WUSB, Stony Brook. Eater Torque telling you so. Hi, this is Peter Torque, formerly of the Monkees, now of Shoe Suede Blues, asking you to keep your radio tuned to the unique programming of WUSB, Radio Free Long Island, for Pete's sake.